If you have your Bible, I hope you have, turn to the book of Luke chapter 4 with me this morning, please. Luke chapter number 4. And we'll start reading verse number 1. Luke chapter 4. Verse number 17, rather. 4:17. We'll start reading verse number 16. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. This is Isaiah from the Old Testament. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down. Father, bless your word. Your holy name, amen. 1947, when they found what's called the Dead Sea Scrolls, an area called Qumran in Israel, which is right next to the Dead Sea, they found a 57-foot-long copy of the book of Isaiah, 57 feet long. Essentially, it's the same thing you have in your Bible. It was a scroll, and this is what he read. He read from a scroll. It wasn't bound up as you see this one. They didn't like it like this. It was a scroll, no doubt, and he opened it up and he read it. Then he closed it and handed it to the minister of the synagogue. The Lord Jesus Christ had a profound respect for the Word of God. Let me say that again. He had a profound respect for the Word of God. And you find him never quoting the Mishnah or the Midrash or the Gemara or Halakha or anything else of that nature. He quotes the Scriptures. The Scriptures of his day were the book of Genesis through Malachi, called the Tanakh, consisted of three sections, the Torah, first five books of the Bible written by Moses, the Navim, were the prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and then the writings, which would be the Psalms and other books of that that fit in that. And so when the Word of God was read, he started his ministry by reading the Word of God because he was the Word incarnate. Amen. God in flesh. And so this is the testimony I'm going to preach to you today of Christ to the Scriptures. Would you bear with me? This is the testimony of the Lord Jesus himself to the book he wrote because he inspired holy men of God to write it. In John chapter number 5 and verse 46, he said, "For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" He told them that Moses wrote of him. They'd already been corrupted because they'd allowed a third party to come in, which of course is the oral law. He said in the book of Matthew chapter 22 that David called him Lord. The Lord said to the Lord, "Sit thou at my right hand till thine enemies be made thy footstool." If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? The only way this could be true is if God Almighty would be incarnate as a man. There's no other way. Abraham, he said, rejoiced to see his day in John 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad. And here's what he said about Abraham. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Amen. That's an eternally existing one. In the book of Psalm, chapter number 110 and verse 1, he quotes that. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit thou at my right hand." And he said, "Did not Moses give you the law?" John chapter number 7 and verse number 19. Constantly driving them back to the book that they already had, the Word of God. He gave great credence to the Scriptures. He condemned their traditions in Mark chapter number 7. He said, "You're making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you've delivered, and many such things like you do." And they did. They referred to the oral law as having more authority than the written law. And to this day, that's the foundation of the Talmud. And I keep saying this to you because it's so very important. Remember this, a Jew will never reject Christ based on scripture because he can find no scripture to reject him. He rejects him based on the Talmud, Babylonian, and the other one. So therefore, the oral law became the basis of it. The Kairite Jew and the Samaritans both reject the Talmud. There are Jews out there, folks. Unbeknownst to most people, they're called Kairite Jews. They totally reject the Talmud. They reject the so-called prophets to them and the so-called writings to them. But now I believe that the law, the prophets, and the writings are inspired scripture, and I'll show you why in just a few minutes. When he was tempted, the leper, he said to go and show what Moses had commanded to do, Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 4. When he was tempted in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus Christ was there for 40 days. He never appealed to his innate ability, the second person of the Trinity, to divine authority, to take over Satan or any of that nature like that. What he did was appeal to the scripture. He quoted the Bible. He quoted Deuteronomy when Satan said, turn these stones into bread. He quoted Deuteronomy chapter number 8 and verse number 3. And he then, when Satan said, and all this will I give unto thee, showing him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The Lord Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verses 13 through 14. And then when Satan appealed to his pride and said, cast thyself down, quoting Psalm chapter number 91, the Lord Jesus Christ quoted Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 16 in interpreting the scriptures. So he commenced his public ministry. He quoted Isaiah chapter number 4. He quoted Isaiah 61 from Luke chapter number 4, which we just read to you. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was completely and absolutely built upon fulfilling the Word of God. In the Sermon on the Mount, for example, he said he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Did you know that he referred to 20 Old Testament characters? He quotes from 19 different Old Testament books. He quotes about the creation of man, the institution of marriage, the history of Noah. He made direct reference to Abraham, to Lot, to the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. He made reference to the appearing of God to Moses in the burning bush. He made reference to the manna that God fed the children of Israel with. He made reference to the Ten Commandments. The tribute money was mentioned in the book of Exodus. He made reference to the purification of lepers. He made reference to the great moral law of love, to love thy neighbor as thyself. He made reference to the brazen serpent in the wilderness. He made reference to the laws in the book of Numbers, of vows. He made reference to David's flight to the high priest at Nob. He made reference to the glory of Solomon and the visit to the queen of Sheba. He made reference to Elijah's sojourn with the widow of Sarepta. He made reference to the healing of Naaman. And he made reference to the killing of Zechariah. It sounds like one who read the word of God. Amen. It's important to understand the point that I'm trying to make this morning. Don't ever let anyone belittle your Bible, for your faith is in the scriptures. Don't ever take a cavalier attitude toward that book you hold in your hands. You either believe it or you don't believe it. If it's the inspired word of God, then it is God breathed, theosneustos, God breathed, and it's given directly to us. Thus saith the Lord. Do I believe the book? Do I believe God has spoken? Do I believe that what I hold in my hand is God's infallible word? His constant exhortation to those around him were, have you not read? It is written. The scripture cannot be broken. The scriptures testify of me. The scriptures must be fulfilled. His life was directly controlled and directed by the word of God. I cannot speak but what my Father gives me to speak. I cannot do but what my Father tells me to do. If I, by the finger of God, do these things, which was the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He's not just a man who chose to walk on this earth 2,000 years ago and do his thing and react to the circumstances about him. Oh, no. He was the apostle of Almighty God, the sent one,
who came into this world to do exactly what the Father would have him do. He says the scriptures cannot be broken. He said the scriptures testify of me. And he said the scriptures must be fulfilled. At the resurrection, to his resurrection, he says this in Matthew chapter number 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels in heaven. But it's touching the resurrection of the dead. Now listen carefully to the way he says this. Have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, now listen, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You know what he just told them? He just told them that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were alive. Amen. That's what he just told them, that they were living. They were living. Amen. As he drew near to the cross in Luke chapter number 18, he began to teach them about the scriptures. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. That's the scriptures. Do you believe, Preacher Lawson, that Christ rose on the third day? My soul, my life, my hope, my eternity, my identity, my being, and my essence is completely and absolutely connected with my belief that Christ is alive today at the right hand of the Father on the third day. Death could not hold him. In Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 37, I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me, that he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. So it is written. Thus it is written. You have the word of God. You have scripture. It is written. On the night of his betrayal, three times he points to scripture fulfillment. Matthew chapter number 26 and verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And did that happen? Of course it did. In Matthew chapter number 26 and verse 53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? The average size of a legion 2,000 years ago was about 5,000. Sometimes you get different numbers here and there. But that would make 60,000 angels, he said, I could call. But he said, then, how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In Mark chapter number 14, verse 48, and Jesus answered and said unto them, are you come out as against a thief, with swords and staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching. You took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. On the cross, three times of the seven utterances were direct quotations from the word of God. As the last breath left his body, he was quoting scripture. On the very day of his resurrection, he directly refers to scripture, Luke chapter number 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Liberalism would have you believe that the word of God is just a compilation of different traditions created at different times and finally compiled together about 300-400 BC to create an identity for a bunch of tribal people who really were nothing. And this is what liberalism is teaching young men who go off to their Bible colleges. And when they come back to the churches that they're supposed to be pastoring, they have no belief in the preservation or in the inspiration of scripture. They have no belief in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. They have no belief in the new birth. They have no belief in the resurrection, and they certainly have no belief in the second coming. It all becomes a moral issue of how you need to be good and do this and be good and do that, be good and do this. I'm all for being good. Believe me, I am. But my dear friend, we will never be good enough to earn what it takes to come into the presence of a holy God. After his resurrection, he appeared to his disciples and gave a powerful witness to the order of the Old Testament. And this is important, very important. In Luke chapter number 24 and verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written, now note carefully, the three divisions, in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, or the Torah, the Navim, and the Ketuvim. Concerning me, he said, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. God, open mine, open my heart, open my soul, open my mind, open my being, that this book will no longer be maligned by ignorant men, but I will receive it into my heart and in my soul as it is the word of God. I will let God speak to me from his word and from his Bible. I will let the inspired scripture motivate me, inspire me, and give me meaning. I will no longer look to men for their wisdom and their understanding of spiritual things. They are ignorant, blind leaders of the blind. They have no idea what they're talking about. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where they came from. But the book I have in my hand is God's word. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord, as Samuel said. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Speak to my soul. And I thank God today, and I say this as a witness before my Father. When I open that Bible, I am not the critic of the book. I let it speak to me. I'm not the judge of this book. This book was here long before I ever showed up. This book will be here long after I'm gone. Amen. Holy men of God spake as they were moved. Do you believe this morning from what I've read so far that the Lord Jesus Christ had a profound respect for the Bible? Do you believe that he believed it was from God, inspired from the Holy One? Did you ever see him one time quote an error in the scriptures? Not one time. The book he held in his hand, of course it was 39 Old Testament books at that time. The book he held in his hand, he believed it from cover to cover. He quoted it. He based his life upon it. He lived it. And when he went to the cross, he died it. That was his book. That's what he believed. So, in Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 44, I'll go back and read it at the beginning. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that it all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Note carefully, concerning me. You remember what he told them that day? He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. If you can read the Old Testament and you can't find Christ all over every page of it, we got a problem, amen. He's everywhere in that book. So then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. Thus to rise from the dead the third day. When that little baby was brought into the temple, you remember that man who held that little baby in his hands? His name was Simeon. He took that little baby in his hands. And you can dramatize it wherever you want to. But it wouldn't have been beyond understanding to think that he held that baby up like that before Almighty God and said, Lord, now I've seen thy salvation. Let thy servant depart in peace. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was not waiting for some secular authority to relieve Israel. No, he wasn't looking for some material blessing or some. No, he was looking for something spiritual, and he held it in his hands. And he said, this is my salvation right here in my hands. Lord, I have it. The disciples had a hard time getting a hold of that. Even there in the book of Acts chapter number 1. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They still could not understand what he just said here. First, he must suffer and then be raised from the dead, come back and be glorified. The Lord Jesus Christ came the first time as the Lamb of God to die upon a cross and give himself for us, shed his blood to establish the blood covenant, my friend. And that's what we're under, a covenant of grace ratified by the blood. But he'll come again the second time on a horse, and he'll come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. And this world is screaming at its top of its lungs right now for a deliverer. Amen. They're as blind as they can be. They stagger like drunk men. They don't know who to believe, where to turn, what to do. But technology is bringing something into their lives that I dare say that most of them are not ready for. That's the artificial intelligence. And that's another message at another time. For 3 weeks I've tried to bring another message on that, and he won't let me do it. And I don't know how many hours I've spent in the last 3 weeks studying this and preparing for it. But I'll wait for him. Amen. I've learned he knows a whole lot more than I do about when he wants this out. Amen. And when he gets ready for it, we'll come out with it. But my, what I'm learning, what I see, it's amazing. But let me say this to you this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready? He said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father to you, upon you, that but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That's what you felt this morning. Oh boy. Man. Bless your heart. God bless you. Some of you, you're totally, completely cut off about what I'm talking about. There's a lot of Baptists out there scared to death if you say Holy Ghost. It's almost as if you've plugged into some kind of a cult or something. Folks, listen. Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with what? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And man, did I ever feel him this morning. And not only me, I think there's a lot of people in this house that did. And that's it. I said this to my brother right here, Brother McDonald, a few minutes ago when he was up here. I said, you know, Holy Ghost is in this house. He looked over at me and he knows. And I said, he's everything. He's everything. If he shows up, it's going to be okay. He's everything. We just want to make him welcome. We want him to know that he's where he's welcome. We invite him. Then in the book of Revelation, he quotes from two parts of the book of Isaiah. In Revelation, he quotes from Scripture. In Revelation, in Isaiah chapter number 44 and verse number 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. He quotes Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 22, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open. I am he. I close, nobody opens. I open, nobody shuts. I'm the first and I'm the last, quoting Isaiah in the book of Revelation. Then I give you these three. This is what he said about the future. I hope I've established a firm foundation this morning that you can believe what has been said and what has been written. And of course, that's a different message altogether to all the fulfillment of Scripture's prophecies of his life 2,000 years ago, which is a wonderful thing. But listen to these three scriptures that he leaves with us. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Then to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And then the apostle in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. These are your mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, husbands, wives, your dear ones that have already gone on. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I believe it. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. There's a big graveyard right over here, huge. Not a one of them are in that graveyard. They're with him. The Lord, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, go before the event. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is called the blessed hope. And glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. It's the mystery revealed to the Apostle Paul. A mystery revealed as it relates to the body of Christ, the church of the firstborn, to us who are born of the Spirit of God today. So then what is the next great event then, preacher, in the calendar of God? Shout. Come up hither. Are you listening for that shout? Oh boy. Oh boy. Come up hither. Man. Won't be time to say goodbye. Won't be time even to pray. Won't be time to do anything. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye. What's the twinkling of an eye? Well, they tell us that light travels, what is it? 180, what is it? 186,000 miles a second, something like that. From the time it takes for a beam of light to go through the pupil, bounce off of the back of your eyeball, and come back out at the front, that's a twinkling of an eye according to scriptures. Now, folks, that's fast. In other words, when the moment comes and he shouts the names of the saved, it's over. Won't be time to even turn and look at the one next to you. You're gone. Man, if that ought to fire a person up. My, my, my. You say, is that in the Bible? Yeah, it's in the Bible. Just read it to you. He's coming again to receive us into himself. Well, can't we change the world? I'll do all the good I can while I'm here. Help feed all. Do everything I can. God knows I will. Yes, sir. But I'm not going to change this world. I'm waiting for him to come and catch us up. Are you ready? Are you ready? Honestly, if you're not ready, you really don't even have time to get out of your pew and walk down here, because if the shout took place before you put that foot down, you're gone. We're gone. You may not be. I hope you are. Father, bless your word. Thank you for the time in your house. Bless it to the hearts of the people. May they receive it, Father, as truth from Scripture. And Lord, you know I believe that book. Oh, you know that. No question, you know that. And I believe in my Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me and rose again the third day. Father, may he come. Even so, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Thy holy name, come. Won't you come, Savior? Won't you come? Come and take us. You know what John said in the Isle of Patmos after he'd seen all of the future and all that God had for him? Saw all of it. Last thing John said was, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Even so, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. That's John. We love John. We love John the Apostle. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. What have we got, brother?